Welcome to the Now What podcast. I'm your host, Hazel Siff. Every week, I'll be profiling a different student guest and discussing how the COVID-19 pandemic has affected their life plans. In today's episode, I sat down with my friend, Brian Unger. Brian goes to the University of Massachusetts Amherst, and we discussed how his education has been affected by COVID and how his upcoming return to the UMass campus is going to go. We discussed how UMass has been handling the virus and just more about the general social issues that have come up during COVID. It was very fun, and Brian is a great guy, and I'm so excited for you guys to hear it. So once again, thank you for listening. Hello and welcome back to the Now What podcast. I'm your host, Hazel Siff. Today I'm speaking with my friend, Brian Unger, from the University of Massachusetts Amherst. How are you doing, Brian?
I'm doing good. Thanks for having me.
Of course. I'm happy to have you. So I always start these out just kind of discussing where were you back in March when all of this began and how did your school handle the shutdown?
So at the start of the pandemic, we were still in school. Actually, leading up to the closure of all the schools was our last week before spring break. So around that time, there was a lot of speculation about what was happening. We weren't sure yet, though. A lot of the schools around us were starting to close. I know the schools in Boston were starting to close, in New York also. And then early on in the week, Amherst College decided to switch to completely online. And then the day after, Smith College did the same. So it was just UMass kind of seemed to be the only one in the area kind of holding out. And we weren't really sure what was going to happen. But they did eventually tell us that we were going home for a bit. But what actually I don't think was very well done was that Boston Globe actually posted an article saying that UMass Amherst is speculated to close before we had even heard an official email from administration.
Weird.
Yeah. So Boston, I think it was that Wednesday, there was an article flying around, everyone was sharing it with each other, and it was UMass Amherst speculated to close. And then 2 hours later, we get an email from the chancellor telling us that we're closing temporarily and that we plan to come back later.
Huh. And so when they said that you're planning on coming back later, what was the initial announcement of when that would be? Did they have you move everything out for the rest of the spring semester?
So they didn't have us move everything out, but I actually decided to. So what actually ended up benefiting me, I didn't really think we were going to come back just because it didn't seem like any of the other schools were going to, and no one really knew what the pandemic was going to be like. And personally, I'm from outside Philadelphia, so UMass Amherst is with little traffic, a 4-hour drive, but depending on traffic, closer to 5.5, 5 to 6 hours. So I didn't want to have to come back and drive. I didn't want to have to do a 10-hour commute there and back just to unpack everything, pack all my stuff up and leave. So I think it was a Friday. Yeah, it was a Friday. That Friday, I packed my dorm. I didn't think I was coming back. And my mom came up. She picked me up. I drove back. And as we were driving, we were crossing the George Washington Bridge from New York into New Jersey. We get an email from the chancellor saying that we're not coming back at all and that everyone has to move out.
Wow.
So I actually got super lucky with my packing. One of my friends, she's from New Jersey, actually. She was driving, that she had just gotten into Connecticut, and that's when we got the email, and her dad turned right around and they drove back to school just to get everything and then go.
Wow. Yeah. It was hectic. It's so funny to still, for anybody listening, one of my best friends, Noli, who will probably be on the podcast at some point, goes to school in Philadelphia, but is from Western Mass. And then Brian here is the opposite. So their commute to and from school and home is the exact opposite.
Yeah.
I'm glad that you took your things out. I was not like that. And so my things are currently in a storage facility in Santa Barbara.
Still. Oh, boy. Yeah. Part of it was that actually, ironically, when we were moving out, there was a mom of one of the girls who lived in the room next to me. And she was saying, it was like, it's actually smart that you're taking everything, because if we do come back, then all you have to do, like, it's easier to pack, set everything back up than just pack everything up again. And I was like, oh yeah, that is true. But no, we got lucky. We got lucky with taking everything.
Yeah. And so let me ask you, I know that you said that UMass just updated their fall plan last night.
Yes.
But before we go there, I don't know if you heard the first episode of my podcast, but I interviewed a friend that lives near UMass.
Mm-hmm.
And this was a few weeks ago. He said that at the time they were planning on having the students come back to live there, but do online school.
Yes.
And he was concerned about the partying and that whole situation. So, yeah, I don't know. Just talk about it.
Yeah, I actually did listen to that podcast either like last night or two nights ago. And
good friends.
Yeah. So and initially, yes, that was what UMass had planned. Initially, it was that we were supposed to come, we were allowed to come back onto campus if we wanted to. Even, and we had like fully remote classes, that was fine. But they had set in very strict rules. Actually, leading up to their decision, it was very much like no one really knew what was happening, because it was like, I'm sure like a bunch of other schools, they were sending very cryptic emails that kind of said the same thing without saying anything. And
yeah.
So I know one of the things that they wanted to do was put all the like put all the freshmen in singles and try to space out like all the housing just so that people could actually distance and isolate. But the problem with that was that when it came to picking housing, the sophomores were getting forced into triples because of like we're a large class size, and I'm sure the freshman class is going to be larger. So we all kind of were like, so if they're doing all singles, then who's getting kicked off campus?
Yeah.
And then
yeah.
Yeah. So it ended up being that we could live on campus. Triples weren't, they were going to try to eliminate as many triples as possible. I'm not sure how exactly, but we could live on campus, but they had very strict rules, as in like you couldn't really have people that weren't in your, that weren't your roommates in your room. And if you did, you had to wear a mask. It kind of limited the, like you couldn't sign anyone that didn't live in the building into the building. All meals were going to be takeout and grab and go. Classes are going to be mostly online, except for a few. And so that was their initial plan. And so a lot of the sophomores, and myself included, didn't love the restrictions about housing, because I was going to end up living in a different dorm from all of my friends. So I wouldn't be able to visit them. And I would, if I wanted to like see them, I'd have to Zoom or FaceTime them, which just isn't the same
That's
when you
great,
go
though.
To school, especially if you're all living like within a quarter mile of each other. Like, what's the point of FaceTiming them when you like ideally would see them?
Yeah.
So there was a huge scramble for off-campus housing in mid-July, like mid to early July. And actually then a few days ago, UMass sent up a new email updating their fall plan, and they said that everyone who has, UMass basically said that this is bad phrasing. UMass said that if you have fully remote classes, like if all your classes are fully remote and you plan to live on campus, like you're just no, like don't come back. Essentially, they basically said that the only people allowed back to live on campus are people who have in-person classes. And if you don't have an in-person class, then you can't live in the dorms, and they recommend that you stay home. And then they also suggested that even people who live off campus, they recommended that they don't come back into the Amherst area just to protect the community.
Right. And what about you? What do you fall into? I know you're a kinesiology major, so I would imagine it would be one of the ones where you'd need something in person.
I would too, but it turns out that one of my classes, so I initially did have one in-person class. So when the first round of like in-person classes and online classes were a thing, I was actually excited because I was like, oh, I'm taking anatomy and anatomy has an in-person lab. So that means I get to come back. 3 days later, I got switched to fully remote. So now all my classes are fully remote. And it kind of sucks, but
yeah.
Now
and so
I'm
you are moving into an apartment.
Yeah. So a bunch of my friends and I, we are all living in the same building and we already signed a lease. It's a 12-month lease. So I'm definitely planning on going back, and a bunch of them are too. So we should all be fine and moved in to Amherst.
Yeah. I mean, one thing that I've been seeing as a theme doing these podcasts is that a lot of people are kind of taking that route of like, okay, there's not going to be big parties, or, you know, I'm going to at least be responsible and not go to them, but I want to still be able to see my friends and like not be endangering my family. And I think that honestly, it's a pretty smart move in that case to just live with your friends and like have that as your circle.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that. I know, well, especially from being out of state, a majority of my friends from school now are from Massachusetts. And I know during like early on in the pandemic and during quarantine, they would kind of like drive out to each other to see each other on weekends or like hang out in a parking lot. And then I would just like see it on Snapchat and Instagram stories and be like, oh, all of my school friends aren't from here. Keep forgetting that.
Yeah. Well, I think that what you're doing sounds cool as long as you are responsible. I mean, obviously UMass and like big public schools, like mine is a big public school as well. It's a little scarier. And obviously it kind of, in this situation, it kind of sucks because I think the smaller schools are the ones that are actually getting in-person classes because they can handle hybrid, and our classes are just too huge to do that.
You know? Yeah, definitely. I know like a lot of my friends from home go to smaller schools. And like, actually one of my close friends goes to Bowdoin. And so, like when we came back, we were kind of catching up and he was like, yeah, I had this kind of one large class. It was like 50 people. And I was like, 50 people is a big class. Like I walked into one of my kinesiology lectures second semester and thought I was in the wrong room because it had 100 people and it was an intro class. So I was expecting like 350 people. And like I literally sat down at a table. I was like, this is Kin 110, right? And they're like, yeah. And I was like, oh, okay. Just looks kind of small.
That is how it is. Yeah. It's kind of crazy. So why don't you talk about what you've been up to since going into quarantine? Like, you know, how the shift to online classes was and what your life has been looking like.
Yeah. So the beginning of quarantine was spring break, and actually earlier on, I had plans with two of my friends from school to go to San Jose and San Francisco. And we were all super excited. Like, we bought our tickets and we were like, oh my God, like, we're so excited. We're about to go. And then we had to, the next day, we ended up canceling the tickets because of the pandemic. So I kind of like just expected like a normal spring break at home. Like, I'd go see my friends, like my friends from high school. Work out, kind of just like relax. But then obviously the pandemic hit and we were here for the rest of the semester. So my transition to online classes actually was relatively good, considering, like, at least comparative to other people. This is my first semester, academically was not great. So I was kind of trying to make up for it in the second semester. So I had purposely picked classes to like boost my GPA.
So you had an easier course load already.
Yeah, an easier course load. Like in the fall, I was taking intro kinesiology, which was a super fun class. And then I had to take applied calculus, intro chemistry, a writing class, and then like a freshman seminar. And the combination of calc and chemistry were just extremely detrimental. And also just like my studying habits were not good for a semester. And so when it came to second semester, I retook calc actually because I did not do well in it. And so I had retaken calc. I was finishing the other intro kin course that was required for the major. And then I was taking a required seminar for the honors college and then intro psych. And I had taken AP Psych in high school, and I hadn't submitted my credit, which actually ended up benefiting me this semester, because then I went into a class, like basically retook a class that I had done really well in anyway. So, So when it came to the online stuff, the only one that really annoyed me was Calc, because
I cannot imagine having to do Calc online. I can't feel your pain. I'm so sorry.
It was very frustrating. A lot of it was essentially the professor would post a lecture video, and then I would do the work in the worksheets, and then I'd have to email them and be like, hi, I don't understand these. Can we set up a Zoom call? Or like I'd hop on their office hours and be like, I didn't get these questions. And I'd been going to my professor for office hours in the spring semester, so they knew me well. And I would like be constantly be like, oh, hi, like, can I come in for office hours? And like, we'd go over the problems. It was a lot easier in person because we could like get through it a lot faster. Whereas now online, it's like, okay, let me screen share with you. Like, I can't really show you my work though, because I'm just like, it's on a notebook that I have here and I can't hold it up because it won't project well onto a laptop. So that was extremely frustrating.
And then I haven't even asked anybody about office hours yet, and I don't know because I didn't take online classes this quarter. It's like postponed my education. Yeah. But that sounds really tough. I definitely think office hours are one of the strongest benefits of having in-person classes. And
oh,
one of the
definitely. Especially with like STEM-based classes, from my experience, is that like, more specifically, calculus, it's not something that you can just watch videos, like watch a video lecture and just learn. Mm-hmm. Like I'd have to go in and be like, because there's sometimes where I would go into office hours and my professor would be able to say something that just really made me understand the quote unquote understand the concept better. Like I kind of lost that aspect of the class, which really frustrated me, because that was kind of like, that was what was getting me through the class, was the fact that I could have this in-person time to like specifically address the problems that I had, instead of just posting a general question and being like, I don't really get this. And then being like, well, you should do it this way. And I'm like, I don't understand what that means. Mm-hmm. So,
did UMass have anything like making it easier to withdraw or pass, no pass or anything like that to make that easier on students?
Yeah. Spring semester, actually, we could pass fail all of our classes if we wanted to. So that was really nice of them, and I appreciated that. They kind of stopped that though, I feel like as soon as, like, they literally gave us up until the last day of classes to pass fail the class. So they were super lenient about that, which was really nice.
That's crazy. The usual time that they let you do that, like, you can't switch it past, I think, like the first week or two of the class at my school, because we're on the quarter system and it's so fast paced.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
that's nice.
Yeah, no, that was really nice for them.
And so you've been working, is that right?
Yeah, so summer wise I am part-time working as a lifeguard again, but I also, because of my major, we have UMass kinesiology has a very strict set of classes, like the prerequisites for to declare the major. You have to fulfill within your first three semesters at school to actually declare a kinesiology major. And if you can't fulfill that, they will then recommend that you change your major.
Hmm.
So, and those classes are KIN 100, intro kinesiology, KIN 110, human performance and nutrition, intro chem, intro physics, and then calc 1 and 2. And so because my first semester did not go great, I only really got credit for intro chem and intro kin. So, and because there is a way to like build your schedule that you essentially fill those all within your first year, but a lot of people tend to space it out just because they are very demanding classes.
Yeah.
Like taking, calculus and chemistry at once can be very hard, and it was for me. So I found that isolating those specific like hardcore STEM classes made it easier for me because I could just kind of focus on that one class. And so because I repeated Calc 1 in the spring semester, I pushed off physics until the first half of summer, and then Calc 2 was going to be the second half of summer, and I had finished the other actual King classes. So I spent my summer, essentially, I had like a week and a half between finals and the start of summer classes. So I like finished my finals, got a week and a half or so to relax, and then I started introductory physics. And yeah, and as you can imagine, online physics is not an ideal class to take. No, it's not an ideal way to take the class. I mean, physics is never an ideal class to take anyway. But then you throw in the online aspect of it, and it was just, and it's a summer course, and it's the first half of summer. So not only is it accelerate, not only is it a short amount of time, but it's a full semester's worth within that time of physics. So yeah. I was learning a semester's worth of physics in 6 weeks.
Wow.
So I was on an extremely accelerated, like,
they're not going to adjust those requirements of how long you have to take those classes at all?
No. That those prereqs are very set in stone about kinesiology, which does kind of suck because they are hard classes. But otherwise, like, it's very much set in stone. And then, so I had, my option was to take physics and Calc 2 in the fall with the other required classes for sophomore year, or take it over the summer and get them done with. And so I thought that taking them over the summer would be best. And so I did pedal to the metal and spent the entire, essentially, first 6 weeks of my summer doing physics every day, like a 9-to-5, essentially. And then, yeah, like even with, yes, there was a lab with physics too. And they literally just mailed us this little device and with no explanation of how to set it up or use it until the first lab had already been due. Like a week into classes, they were like, oh, by the way, here's how you use your lab device. And I was like, cool, that would have been nice to know if we hadn't had to already turn in one of our labs.
Yeah, lab classes are crazy to do online. I've heard people say it goes either way. Either it becomes impossibly difficult or it just is way easier than it's supposed to be, because how do you do that from afar?
Yeah, it's very difficult, and I would not recommend taking it if you don't have to. But given the situation, there's not really a choice. So hopefully there's better solutions now. Yeah. And then so I took physics the first half of summer, and now I'm done with that. And I had a week in between, so I was able to go up to Cape Cod with some of my school friends and just relax for a bit, which was nice.
And nice, then,
bro. We were in Harwich, and then we kind of hopped around like during the day. Like we went to Wellfleet, P-Town, Chatham, Hyannis. We actually did one day. Oh, wow. We drove up to, one of our friends was staying on Lake Winnipesaukee in New Hampshire. And so we stayed with her for one day and then came back the next day. Yeah, but it was a lot of fun. And then I came back and started Calc 2.
Wow. Well,
yeah.
You know,
well, it's over on Friday. So
good, good.
Looking forward to counting down the days.
Good for you for being so diligent. That's very, very impressive. I don't know how you're doing it, honestly.
Thank you. Honestly, I don't really know either, but we're getting through it. It's been like a constant like doing something, because I literally have 2 days. So initially with the Calc class, we had our last quiz would be on Thursday, our finals on Friday, and then my lease starts on Saturday.
Wow.
So I'm taking like 2 days after the final to just not do anything. And then like that following Monday, we're driving up to Amherst and moving into the apartment.
And how many friends are you going to be living with in just your apartment?
So in just my apartment, it's me and two other guys. And then down the hall in one apartment are four girls that we're friends with. And then right above them, like up one floor, are two other girls that are in our friend group.
That's awesome. That is so exciting. You're going to have so much fun.
Yeah, I'm really excited. We basically just made it a dorm and we're just going to live that way. Yeah.
Yeah. And like, I'm assuming, are you going to have a meal plan or are you just cooking your own meals?
No, we're actually not doing a meal plan, especially now considering the new updates from campus.
Yeah, screw that.
Yeah. My plan originally was that I wasn't going to get a meal plan first semester and then second semester if things get better. But no one knows what the situation is going to be now. Like, it's completely unpredictable. But my plan was that if things got better and I had in-person classes on campus, I would like do like grab and go meals or like one meal a day so I could like grab lunch on campus or like dinner or like get something quick before I go to the library. But now I can't really do that. So
you guys kinda should,
my regular plan again.
You guys, you and your different friends' apartments should alternate like making late night.
Honestly, like, that's not a bad idea. Like that we're missing our number one dining. We got to make up for it somehow.
I don't know what you guys had for late night, but that was my go-to for like tater tots and brownies. And I'm like,
yeah,
my stomach is growling.
And I don't want to flex about UMass number one dining too much, but our late night was pretty good.
Oh yeah, the Queen of England gets something from the UMass Gardens. I can't remember what it is, but yeah, they tell you that at UMass orientation from what I've heard from a lot of people. But yeah, anybody that's
listening, I don't remember that.
UMass and UCLA have the best food in the country. I think UMass comes in first.
UMass does come in first for the fourth year in a row, just to I'm also a little bit salty because I didn't get into UCLA, so I'm gonna try to use like the 4-year dining as like my little one up on them.
You and me both, kid. UCLA hates us. Anyway, not salty about that at all. Well, that's all really exciting. Do you know anything about the facilities at UMass for the fall, like the gym, library, stuff like that?
So from what I've picked up from the email, and I think it says it very more explicitly, and I'm just kind of forgetting or like blocked it out. Basically, all the facilities are closed to everyone who's not on campus in person. So I guess all the people who do have in-person classes who will be living in the dorms, I think they're just going to be studying in their rooms from what it sounds like.
Yeah, that's crazy. I feel like, honestly, though, what UMass is doing, even though it is annoying, is pretty smart compared to, like, UCSB is still in this holding pattern where they announced that they're going to have to cut the dorms down probably into singles, and the majority of them are triples. So, like, only a third of people who have housing contracts are supposed to get them. But
yeah, they haven't announced that's crazy.
Who are, and school starts in a month. And anyway, I just think how UMass is handling it is probably what makes the most sense.
Yeah. I mean, as annoying as the situation is, they were very upfront with, like, they were very much saying that we wanted to say this now instead of having everyone come back and then sending you back in the middle of the semester, because that would just make people angry and more upset. So honestly, it was smart. I think it was very smart to just tell no one to come back to start with, unless they have in-person classes, because then everyone kind of goes through what they went through in the spring where everyone's like, oh yay, we're coming back. I get to see everyone, or I guess whoever's going back, I get to see. And then you kind of get this expectation. And then probably like a month max later, they're going to be like, okay, never mind, go home. And then they're gonna have to deal with the refunds with housing and yeah, meal plans, which was already a big enough loss in the spring to them.
Yeah. Is your apartment off campus, or it's not through UMass at all? It's just in Amherst?
Yeah. So my apartment, I think it's one of the ones that they recommend as off-campus housing, because there are some places that they don't have a contract with the school, but it's very much kind of like it's a popular spot for off-campus housing. So my apartment building is actually relatively new. So they suggest it through the off-campus housing, but it's not owned by UMass. So we have our own landlord, and it's actually right off of campus. Like, I can bike to campus, and it would take 5 to 7 minutes max, maybe. to get onto campus, and then maybe like to get into like actual campus might like take another 2 minutes, but it's super close to campus. Yeah.
Well, and your school has only announced that it's going to be online for the fall, right? You haven't heard about spring?
Yeah, we haven't heard anything about the spring yet, but I don't want to say anything about my predictions just because the pandemic has not gone the way anyone's ever predicted. So I think earlier I was hopeful that we would be in person in the spring. Their initial plan was that we were going to be back to normal by spring semester with a hybrid fall semester. But based on how the pandemic's been handled, I wouldn't be surprised if spring semester started online.
Yeah.
Which would suck, but
unfortunately. I mean, one thing that's good is you're on the East Coast, which seems to be handling the pandemic a lot better than the West Coast right now. Especially Massachusetts. I think Massachusetts has like some of the best numbers in the country.
Yeah, I know. Massachusetts, the New England area, I think the numbers have gone up a bit, but it's still relatively low compared to the rest of the country. Pennsylvania actually has just gotten into that number range of where it's not awful, where it's like not, it's getting better. Yeah, I think definitely part of it, I guess part of the help, quote unquote help, was that the pandemic kind of started on the East Coast. Like Boston and New York especially got hit really hard.
Yeah.
So then all like the surrounding areas were then kind of like New Jersey, I know, and Connecticut really got like, were like the hot spots for a while. And then since they have died down more, I mean, there's still cases, obviously, but I think they're relatively low compared to other places in the country.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that's good. I'm excited. We just figured out before we started recording that Brian and I are going to overlap when I'm visiting Massachusetts in a couple weeks. So I'm excited to see you.
I'm really excited about that. It'll be nice. I'm excited. We'll have fun.
Dude,
at appropriate distances.
Yes.
And responsibly.
Yes. I'm jealous of your trip to Cape Cod. I haven't hung out with anybody in so long. I saw my friend Emma and her friend Sam for Emma's birthday, and that's it.
This whole time. So you've been like really, like, isolated. You've been really quarantined for the pandemic. Then,
yeah. I mean, also LA is like so crazy. It's really, there's a lot of coronavirus here.
Yeah, I've heard that California's gotten pretty bad,
out of control. But I'm still doing my part. I still like wipe everything down every day. I mean, yeah.
I know it's definitely slacked a bit on the East Coast. Like I've seen a lot of people have been going out to restaurants more, or like there have been parties, and the social distancing, I mean, in public spaces, it's gotten better. Like to go into any building, like you have to wear a mask. And I know with like takeout orders and stuff like that, deliveries, you need to wear a mask if you're picking something up. To go in supermarkets, you have to have one. But like I've noticed when it comes to like actual like hanging out, it's gotten a little, that people have started getting more comfortable.
Yeah.
So
is there outdoor dining?
Potentially dangerous. Yes, there is outdoor dining. And there's some sit-in. Actually, I don't know if any restaurants are doing like sit-in, but if you can eat, it is usually outside.
Yeah. Well, that's nice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I think, okay, my final and most important question. Are you registered to vote?
I am registered to vote, yes.
Yay. Good. It's probably going to be mail-in. Are you registered at your new address?
I believe I have to update that because I know I have to apply for one. I know I have to apply for a new one because of, well, I know I was registered for the primary for mail-in, but obviously I know that the presidential one is much more important and coming up soon, and I will not be home for that. So I do need to get my mail-in stuff set for all of that, especially so that I can send it out from Massachusetts in time.
Yeah, I still have to do that too, but I just like to mention voting at the end of every episode.
Yeah, for sure. No, I've Definitely gonna vote.
Good. Very glad to hear that. And actually, I lied. I have one more question.
Yeah, all good.
Do you have any predictions about how the country's gonna look, or any hopes or dreams, or just anything final you'd like people to hear?
Any hopes or dreams? I mean, there's a lot of hopes and dreams I have for the country that I don't think are going to be happening soon. But I think definitely, though, with all of the social justice problems being addressed now, I think the good thing is that there has been some change started, and the fact that a lot of cities have been redistributing the funds for police departments, yes, I think is a really good start. I know Philadelphia, at least, I don't remember how much they defunded from the police, but I know they did they put a fair amount of it back into arts, which was good.
That's awesome.
Yeah, that was a really big deal. I'm hoping that a lot more change is going to happen. I'm hoping the people start taking masks seriously, and if they're going to use the same argument of my body, my choice, that they shut up about that with reproductive rights. Because you can't argue about my body, my choice, and tell someone that it's your right to not wear a mask when you're telling people the same thing about their right to an abortion. So
that was maybe one of my favorite things anybody has said on the podcast so far. It's definitely what I'm going to use for the sample.
Thanks. Yeah, no, but I hope that a lot of things like that will actually start changing. I hope that a lot of the racial injustices get fixed. I know there's a long way. We've come a long way, but also there's a long way we still have to go. And yeah, that the defunding of the police goes well, and that education will get the funding that it deserved. I'm just hoping that there's a lot of change and less hate through the country. Yeah. I think that's gonna take a lot of unlearning.
Yeah, so. I completely agree. And this is a human
issue.
And I was just going to say that this is a human issue, not a political issue, even though
exactly. I know, but in the past, though, like, I used to not really post about that sort of stuff on social media because I've never been one to like politics, and I've never been one to engage in anything like that. And like a lot of those things, I kind of did brush aside as like political. And then with the whole George Floyd murder, I started posting more. And then I was kind of like, I don't know why I was so afraid of posting it before. Like, there wasn't people, if I was offending people, I was offending people who shouldn't be offended. And that was something to reevaluate. So I actually started posting a lot more.
Why are you offended?
Yeah, it's like kind of like, why are you being upset about this? And so I kind of reevaluated that aspect, and like, I was really like, okay, race and gender and sexuality and all that sort of stuff isn't a political issue. It's a human right. Like, why was I so afraid of posting this sort of stuff before? So yeah, Now I've been like very active about reposting resources and ways to help, and like other ways to just like get rid of sayings or behaviors that necessarily aren't ideal, not ideal, like just have been appropriated through pop culture and that are extremely offensive. So
yeah, I know, you make a very good point that I think we politicize too much, and a lot of this stuff, I don't like talking about politics, like it's for people that say, I'm not making fun of you, I'm making fun of people.
No, I know.
It's we're talking about like life or death and basic human rights. That's not the same as like, oh, I don't really like this bill about this, like, I don't know. You know what I mean?
Yeah. It's kind of like the way someone's right to whether or not they can be fired for who they are or like adopt children or vote is a human right. It's not the same as being like, oh, I don't like how they handled this redistributing funds of this grant. Like, no, those are two very different issues. And one of them is political, and the other one is just human decency.
Yeah, 100%. And also, you know, it's not just about posting on social media. Like, when all that stuff with BLM, with the BLM movement was kind of mm-hmm. like dying down on social media, and you were seeing a lot of tweets that were like, why is nobody talking about it anymore? To me, I'm like, I don't think it's possible to keep that kind of crazy momentum on social media. That does not mean that you should not keep it in life and what you're doing elsewhere, you know?
Yeah, it's definitely very hard to keep that sort of momentum up, especially on social media, because social media is changing all the time. And at the time, as awful as it was a trend. Like, it became a trend to support the movement. So there's a lot of performative allyship. And then when that sort of died down, people were like, okay, now that this quote unquote trend is over, I can start getting back to normal life. And it's like, okay, but what did you learn from, like, mm-hmm. you can go back to normal life and ignore some of these issues, but you also have to address the fact that this happens and you have to do your part in making a change.
Yeah. And where are you going to make changes in your life? I think one thing is nice, as I've seen, a continued support for Black-owned businesses. Like, I still see that, you know, almost every day on social media, like alternatives that are like not run by evil billionaires, you know?
Yeah. And I've seen a lot of stuff about, like small ways to just like change your habits about, like, also some of those have become like environmental, like ways to stay green. It was like thrifting and using reusable, like plastic containers and Tupperwares, and like bringing your own grocery bag or reusable water bottles. And like, it's like small things that we've known about, mm-hmm. but,
I think the first place to get started too is just to be educated. Make sure you're not like being ignorant to what's going on in the world.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Part of it is you have to just get out of whatever little bubble you made for yourself and just acknowledge that there are other things happening and that you have to either choose that you're going to ignore it and continue and be part of that oppression of whatever injustice it is, or you can start to make changes. And even if it's just little changes, it's still change.
Yeah, for sure. Okay, well, I do think we're out of time for today. So I just wanted to say thank you so much for coming on. And
yeah, thank you so much for having me. It's very exciting.
Yeah, of course. And for everyone that's listening, thank you so much. And we will see you next time. Thank you so much for listening to the Now What podcast. If you liked what you heard, please do me a huge favor and like, follow, or subscribe, as well as follow the Now What podcast on Instagram and visit the nowwhatpodcast.com. Once again, I'm your host, Hazel Siff, and I will see you next time.